yeah, just use the back as whatever you want. All right, well, let's get going. So this morning we're going to be looking at the parable of the bags of gold, which I have, or the talents. So it's from Matthew 25:14-30. But we'll just pray before we start. Father, we thank you for opportunity to always have the freedom and the privilege to come around your word. And Lord, I pray this morning that you would show us in the light of your return what this parable has to say to us this morning. Help us to hear from you, particularly at the time at the end when we just explore some of the workshops together there. I pray that you would just reveal to our hearts areas that only you can speak into. So I ask those things today in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So we'll start by just reading. Hi there. We'll start by just reading the parable. So it's in Matthew 25, verses 14 to 30. Does someone want to read this morning? Any takers?
Yeah, Greg does. He's told me.
No, he doesn't. What was it, Matthew?
25, 14.
Matthew 25, 14 to 30.
For the kingdom of heaven is like a man leaving the country, who called his own servant and delivered to them his property. Now to one he gave 5 talents, and the other he gave 2, and the other one he gave to each according one, sorry, and he gave each to according to his own ability, and immediately left the country. Then the one who had received 5 talents went and traded his 5 with them and made an additional 5 talents. In the same way, the one who had received 2 talents also gained 2 others. But the one who had received a single talent went and dug in the earth and hid his Lord's money. Where are we going to?
Down to 30.
30? Mm-hmm. Now, after a long time, the Lord of those servants came to take account of them. Then the one who had received 5 talents came to him and brought an additional 5 talents, saying, "The Lord, you have delivered 5 talents to me. I have gained 5 other talents beside them." And his Lord said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Because you were faithful with a few things, I will set you over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord." And the one who had received 2 talents also came to him and said, "Lord, deliver to me 2 talents. See, I have gained 2 other talents beside them." The Lord said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant, because you were faithful over a few things, I will set you over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord." Then the one who had received a single talent also came to him and said, "Lord, I knew that you are a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you did not scatter. And because I was afraid, I went and hid your talent in the earth. Now look, you have your own." The Lord answered and said to him, "You wicked and lazy servant. You knew that I reap where I did not sow and gathered where I did not scatter. Because you knew this, you were duty bound to take my talent to the money exchanges, so that when I came, I could have received my own with interest. Therefore take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has more shall be given, and he shall have abundance. On the other hand, one as for the one who does not have, even that which he has shall be taken away from him."
And verse 30?
And he cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
Yeah, okay. So I think this parable is really simple to understand. It's probably one of the most clearest ones, and I think the things that you find in it are really easy to apply just to your life. But for the sake of just being able to unpack it this morning, we've got 3, 3, 2. I thought it'd be really good to break down these three different people in this parable, which we have the group of the two faithful servants, the one unfaithful servant, and then the master as well. So I'd really like you to brainstorm, maybe if would you do the unfaithful servant and see what you can come up with about him, and we'll just do some dot points there. And the same with you guys, if you can do the faithful servant, the two faithful ones, and if you guys can do the master, okay? So just some points about what you pick up about those as you read through it. So just about 5 minutes, we'll just quickly see if we can unpack some things there, just the characteristics of them.
All right. I'll drop down.
What have we got to say? Yeah.
He's a hard...
Well, perceived at least to be.
Taskmaster. He's winning his brainstorm. Looks like he's wealthy.
He's a great one.
Great one, yeah.
Well, I can't remember what we've got on that.
Yeah.
It's like today's money.
A week's wage.
Or more.
Is he a generous?
You could make an argument.
But now when you read the...
So he went away, hey?
They didn't know when he was going to return.
So he's generous, and then he left.
Got interest on the one talent.
Goes away. So he's not staying there. So it's almost a little bit of trust, I
should say. He's the top
he's
given, and then
trying to trust him. He's been given more, but he's certainly resented his master.
He gave it according to their ability. It's not like
they
gave
it. They just bizarre, very cash, rather.
The one who couldn't handle too much. Too little, too much.
So the guy who got one was probably who you expected.
So it was divided according to, what did you say?
According to their ability.
According to their ability,
yeah.
It'll get the same. Yeah.
So, yeah, like it feels like it's like they're not giving more than they
could. So obviously, like the talent is to keep it
probably according to ability and capacity.
So he knew their abilities. And likewise, he has received...
He returned.
Likewise, he received two talents. Again, two more.
What's the text? What's the master testing?
Trusting over many things.
Maybe he was seen
in future responsibilities. Because now you've been faithful. He's not giving them more money because you've been faithful with the money. So here's some more money. You've been faithful. The money was a test.
Look at it in your
to then be given people, something else, isn't it? To be given more responsibility.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure I'm capable.
Well,
more so he's testing them in him. He's testing them to see if they are trustworthy.
Limitations you put in yourself.
And smart enough.
That's
the master won't give me. Isn't that what you said, Ben? After he says you've been faithful, well done.
Just one more minute, folks. Servants, what did we get from faithful?
That's not us.
You guys. Yeah.
So my thought on it is that he knew their abilities and he gave to them in accordance with their abilities.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking that the third one, the one that was given the one talent, was given the opportunity to go beyond what he would usually do. But because of whatever is going on in his world, he was stuck in his place, and so he was scared to venture further and do something with it because of the taskmaster.
Yeah. So that's this guy. Did you get any more for the faithful?
Oh, I didn't. I was doing the whole three of them.
That's okay.
I'm sorry.
That's all right.
It's too early in the morning. It's my excuse.
Yeah, that's all right.
Well, my thought on the first one was that the master was using him for an example to the other two.
Okay.
He knew his ability.
Yeah.
But he could be, what did I say before?
I don't know.
Well, it's like a role model, yeah?
Yeah.
Isn't that the master, though? You're saying the master's the role model?
No, saying the first guy was a role model to the other two. Like, he was that was the word I used with here. He was an example to the other two.
He was faithful with what he was given. So that's a great example.
An example to them.
Yeah. Yep, I'll take that.
Yeah.
Someone has said that.
Any other thoughts? No? Anyone else got some thoughts as they read the parable on the faithful servant? The two faithful ones?
Well, the faithful servants were greatly rewarded for all their following of the task they were given.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They were rewarded and commended, weren't they? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He was a risk taker.
Yeah, willing to take risk. I like that.
I think faithfulness is measured. You can say you're faithful, but the task measured their faithfulness.
Oh, we'll come back to that one. That's some good thoughts there. So how will I write that?
Faithfulness is measured. It's got to be fruit.
Faithfulness was measured.
Okay. This is by your fruit you'll be known, isn't it?
Sorry?
It's by your fruit you'll be known.
The unfaithful.
We had scared.
We're scared, yeah.
There was a lack of respect for the master.
Lack of respect,
for the master. And I guess in that, the gift as well, it didn't respect the gift that was given all the time.
Master and gift, yeah. Mm.
Lazy. Probably similar to the disrespect is just ungrateful.
Yeah.
Mm. And then the last thing we kind of talked about was that he was given the talent, but he didn't use it, so it was wasted.
Yeah. Mm. He wastes his opportunity, hey?
Yeah. Yeah, cool. Okay, and the master. Did you have anything else, sorry?
No.
No? Okay.
Yeah. We had... he's a hard master.
By whose perspective?
Well, at least the guy with one talent, at least.
Okay, so by the unfaithful servant says he's a hard master. You don't see that testimony coming out of the other ones.
Not of the faithful, yeah. No. Yeah. The perception that he was hard.
Yeah.
He was wealthy.
Perception, sorry.
He was generous.
Wealthy and generous.
He was trusting. He gives them the gold, then he takes off. So he's not going to micromanage them.
Trusting and not a micromanager.
He divided and gave according to ability and capacity.
Yeah, like that. Divided according to capacity.
For an unknown period of time.
It was actually, it says, for a long journey in some of the translations,
yeah.
Hey?
After a long time, he returned, yeah.
Unknown, but it is long.
The master expects a return.
Yeah.
There's an expectation. The expectation was a test.
Yeah,
he was testing them. Testing their trustworthiness. And then we just ran out of time, I think, but we just... started to talk about the happiness and the joy of the master.
Yeah, yeah.
I think there's something to be said there, but we didn't quite.
And also, too, this happiness is and joy is his reward for his servants at the end. Enter into this with me.
Yeah.
Which is really nice, you know. So that might have just been one of the translations I was reading. Okay, so yeah, so that's breaking down some characteristics of these three different groups of characters that we see in this parable. I want to focus in now on one of the statements that Jesus makes, which is at the end of him commending his faithful servants, he says, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Yeah, we see him repeat that. We see it a bit throughout the Bible as well. Mm. This word faithful, when we look at, I'll just take this off for a minute. When we look at the word faithful, and even if I was to look it up in a dictionary and see what the meaning of it is, what comes to mind straight away?
Faith.
Yeah. Okay, faith. What else?
Loyalty.
Loyalty.
Reliable.
Reliable.
Well, faith has to have an object.
Okay.
So you're faithful to somebody or something, aren't you?
Object of faith, yeah. Any other thoughts?
A belief.
Consistency.
And they're all true. When we look up even just a dictionary, if I was to be asked, you know, what does faithful mean, I would go immediately to these things. When I was actually researching this passage, what...
Just use the mic, Mandy, so
I just sure, yep. It's picked up. What really jumped out at me was one thought that I read, that this whole idea of faithful in this parable links to the multiplication of the gift. Mm. So if you go back and you have a read, you see in it, let me just go back to the actual comment here. "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." So every time he commends, he's commending because of the increase that they've actually come back with, the idea that there's a multiplication over the talent that he's given to them. Mm. So with that in mind and the thought of the Lord's return,
What does that say? How does that inform us that when Jesus is actually looking to commend us for the talents that he entrusts to us, what's he expecting back? Yeah, sure, all of these things feed into it. I'm not disqualifying them, but I'm just saying this is very key in this linking to the word of faithfulness and what he's looking for. He's looking for an increase in the gift that he gives us, because otherwise we're just letting it lie dormant, aren't we? We're not actually really using it in the way that he wants us to. We can't just have a gift and maintain it. That's not good enough for the Lord, because it doesn't give increase on things. So I thought to just throw out a few names to you of hopefully some people that you might be aware of, just sort of in Christian history, and have a look a little bit about what they've done. So has anyone heard of George Mueller? Yeah? So George Mueller, just give you a little bit of a sort of overview of him. So he was a German-born Christian evangelist, but he was known for his faith-based care of over 10,000 orphans in Bristol in England. So this was between 1800s and 1800s. He established five large orphanages and never went into debt or asked for any donations from anyone. He relied entirely on prayer. And he managed to feed all of those and open up all of those orphanages. Now, do you think he just automatically went to that level? You know, you don't just jump there and God just entrusts that into your hands. There's a journey, isn't there, of this, what Jeremy said before I rubbed it off, but testing. You know, that idea that God will put a gift or a talent into our hand according to our ability. He doesn't give us beyond it. And I think that idea of multiplication, even when it's well done, good and faithful servant, you've been faithful in this, you've multiplied that.
Yeah.
I'm going to actually increase your gifting now and give you responsibility over more because you've been tested and you've been proven faithful in it. So I think it's not only just a parable for eschatology, you know, like for, and I think it, there is that. We are actually going to be judged on what we do. It's not the great white throne judgment, okay? It's the Bema seat, which we hear about in Corinthians, where we will be judged on what we do with the talent that actually God puts into our hands. And each of it get it according to our ability. So we can't say, God, that was too hard for me. It takes that step of faith, that step of obedience, that step of courage, that little bit of risk maybe, to step out and say, okay, I'm going to be faithful with this gift. Why? Because it's God's gift, the master's gift. He owns it. He gives it to us and entrusts us to it to us. So it's not ours anyway. He empowers us with his spirit to be able to use it. And then he's the one that gives the increase. Remember in Corinthians where, you know, Paul talks about one sows, another waters, but it's God that gives the increase. Yeah. So we're, you know, really all God's requiring of us is just that courage, that faithfulness to actually enter into this idea of multiplication, which he does. It's not even us that does that. So I think the wicked, lazy, unfaithful servant is wicked, lazy, and unfaithful simply because he didn't even know his master's character. He thought he was such a hard man. But actually, the character of the master was nothing like that. The character of the master was, I want to do multiplication through you. I want to take your gifts. I want you to step into this journey with me that together, you know, you're going to see me increase your gift. You're going to see me, you know, entrusting you as you use it faithfully. And then he'll give you more responsibility. And that's how we grow in our journey with Jesus. It's just, you know, sometimes we might do two steps forward and one back, but we just keep journeying with him as he entrusts us with these gifts more and more. And when I think of George Mueller, I think, oh my goodness, like he didn't start just with five orphanages and feeding over 10,000 orphans. You know, it had to start somewhere with maybe one or two or maybe half a dozen children where he's just made this commitment with God. God, you are the source. You are the provider of everything I need here. And he prayed into being provision for those few. And then from there, God brought more, entrusted him with more. And imagine his well done, good and faithful servant when he enters heaven. Imagine the multiplication that come out of the faithfulness of using the gift and the talent that God had given him, which was largely unseen. It was prayer. That's a hidden thing, isn't it?
It's not even anything that gets judged externally. It's a hidden thing where you're praying for your needs and God provides it. So that's amazing. Anyway, the other one that I thought to have a look at quickly was Joni Erickson Tada. Has anybody heard of her? Yeah. So we know from her, if you haven't heard of her before, I'll just give a really quick, like, little breakdown on her. So she, at age 13, she had both legs amputated because of a genetic condition. Okay, but she's gone on to be an author, radio host, an artist. She paints using her mouth, which is incredible, like this gifting that she has. And she's written a lot of books. She does podcasts. She does so many things to encourage and educate. God's given her gifts that she never would have thought that she would have had. You know, if something like that happened to me, I wonder if I'd sit down and go, well, what can I do for the kingdom? What can I do for God? But actually, she went on to go, well, I can still think, I can still write in some way. She just found resource within her or the gifts that God gave her, and she faithfully is using them. So what excuse do we have? You know, when I look at someone like that and I think, oh, my goodness, like what excuse could we ever have for saying it's too hard or I'm too scared or, God, you're too hard? Like, yeah, I just think. Has anyone heard of Irene Gleeson? Irene Gleeson is only just, she just passed away in 2013 in July, but she was a Northern Beaches grandma, okay? She, when all of her children left home and had got married, she'd had a failed marriage and she'd not had an easy life, but she lived on the Northern Beaches and God really challenged her one day. You live in this beautiful home with no children. You know, I want you, because she'd been on, a missionary trip to Uganda, and she'd seen the poverty of a lot of the children there. A lot of them had been child soldiers that had been, you know, recruited, and there was just, like, they were malnourished and all that sort of thing. So she was really challenged by God to sell everything. Now, that might not be everybody's story, but it was hers. Sell everything, and I want you to go over there, and I want you to look after these orphans. So she did. And she went over and under a mango tree, she started worming them. She gave them worms for their big swollen belly. She started teaching them about Jesus and singing songs. Today, that organization has grown from one little single lady that just sold everything she had and moved a caravan pretty much under a mango tree and started teaching these orphans. And now it churns out like thousands of kids that have gone through vet training and trades and have gone on to be doctors and lawyers and just incredible, incredible ministry from this one mum that lived on the Northern Beaches, heard God speak to her and was faithful with the talent that God gave her. Now, you know, everybody's journey is different and we're not judged on her journey in comparison with mine, but it's like what has God put into your hand? What gifting has he put into your hand? What talent has he put into your hand? And are you being just faithful with that, where you're at? Not beyond it, just where you're at. Sometimes I find people they haven't explored yet what their talents are. Or they've maybe felt that God's given them a gift or a talent, but they've been a bit scared or never been encouraged to actually step out and use it. And that's something that today I think it'd be really nice to explore with you. And so that's why I put some worksheets there, because I just thought this idea of God, when he returns, like, or when Jesus returns, and there is going to be a time where we have to give an account, can we actually say, Lord, the talent you put in my hand, I've multiplied it? Now, that might be simply, I don't know, God's given you the opportunity to disciple someone, you know, and you've taught them everything you know about God and about Jesus. You've sat down, you've taught them everything that God's shown you. You can't teach beyond that, but you can teach that faithfully. And you might only have been saved a year, but you can still teach and disciple someone what you know, and that is multiplication. Would everyone agree? Yeah, so it's not hard. He's only just asking you to give what you've got, not beyond that. And then as you pass that test, he'll increase that and he'll entrust you with more. And there is an eternal reward in it as well, because he says in some of the versions it says, when he returns, he'll actually put you in charge over many things. And a lot of commentary says that will be like in that millennium time. We'll actually be entrusted to rule over things. Mm. I mean, that's a mystery. No one knows really what it looks like, what exactly it's looking like. But there is this whole idea that we will be entrusted to rule at that time according to what we've done here. Mm. So our eternity is actually how we actually function there, and what happens there with us is determined by how we actually live this life here, being faithful to what God gives us in the light of eternity. Yeah? So that's our everyday life should be informed by that, shouldn't it? The decisions we make, the choices that we make, and how we actually live them out. Eternity should always be informing that all the time. And if we live in the light of that, I think it does really change how we live here. You know, if we just think, even just sometimes I think, I know this is a crazy thought, but I have it, but I sometimes think to myself, you know, with the inheritance that we have, do we just keep giving it on to our kids, or do I just sow it all into the kingdom? Because one day, what will God require of me, you know, with what's in my hand? It's just these questions. I have them. Crazy questions, but I have them. And I think of them a lot. I think, what does God actually require of me in this? With what's in my hand? What is trusted in my hand? In the light of when I get there. Will I regret some decisions I've made here? Or I haven't made here? In the light of what that might look like when I get there? Oof. Because often I see people that God does amazing things with. You know, I think, was it John Wesley? One of the Wesleys, they died with like a few cents in their pocket because they just kept just giving whatever God. And that was a gift of giving, a gift of generosity. Everyone gets different gifts. Someone's gift might be public ministry to preach or teach. Are we faithful with that? Someone's gifting might be mercy. Are you faithful in that gifting? Someone's gift might be to lead. Are you faithful in that gifting? So, yeah, it's like, A, exploring your gifts and knowing what they are, being able to discover it, and then being able to faithfully use it. So on your table, I think we've got time. So I didn't know if we'd get time to do maybe one or if you get time to do two. One of them there is, there's three workshops, but I thought I'd give you a choice of some things to do. So one was about discovering your talent, so identifying your God-given talent and ability. What has Jesus entrusted to you? So to list the natural abilities, skills, experiences or interests that God has placed in your life. So just think about it and list something. It's not an exam. You don't have to give me anything back. This is just for you to just be having some thought over it. So list some things that God's placed in your life. And then maybe some spiritual gifts that you've observed in your life, or just think about maybe what others have said over your life. Is there a teaching gift? Are you a great encourager? Do you always exhort and encourage people? Serving in the area of, you know, just helps ministry, or it could be just in like welcoming people or in hospitality, things like that. Giving, some people just have the gift of generosity. They just give. They can make money and they can give it. I don't know if you've heard of those people that say, well, God, I'm going to be challenged to give a percentage of my income. And they end up living off, like God increases them so much because he just gives them this gift to make money. But it always comes with this little caveat. They're giving often away more than they're living on. And God just keeps increasing it. It's like they almost give away 80% of their money that they earn, and they live off 20% of it, which is still very significant because God's just given them an incredible gift of giving. And leadership mentioned that one. Mercy, hospitality, creativity, evangelism. Like there's so many different giftings and abilities that God puts in our hand. They start as a seed, and like any good seed, when it's planted, it grows. Yeah.
And so then, we pick one, do we?
Yeah, you can pick one.
One, two or three.
What energizes you? And then one talent that you're going to use more faithfully. So really, like in that one, that's a discover your talent. So you could do that one.
the workshop too, don't bury it. So have a think about what might you be burying. Things like time wasted or opportunities that have come to you that you've maybe ignored through fear or whatever it might be. But just have a think about that one. And then what excuses or fears might hold you back? Is it the, you know, judgment of others or what others will think about you or failure? I can't tell you how many times I've failed in things. Heaps. Okay? It's how we learn. It's a really good learning curve, actually. And then if you stop burying your talent, what fruit would grow? What might change? And then an activation out of that, what will you do as a result? And then the last one, building. So thinking about that whole thing of preparing for the judgment seat of Christ. How are you building with gold, silver, precious stones, or wood, hay, and straw? And then there's some descriptions on what those things might look like. What do you want to present when you stand before Jesus? What kind of life do you want to present before him? And what's your plan? How are you going to strengthen it? And what are you going to remove? So choose one or two of those. And if you get time, just spend some time now doing one or two of those.
Okay.
So it's
just
Yeah, if you can do it individually, but I'd love it at the end if anyone was brave enough to share in the last, you know, 2 or 3 minutes about what you've chosen and what you've come up with.
Yeah. You sort of think, okay, God's the master, not me. But then I am.
You're a master of things.
Yeah.
You're put in charge of
your
own life.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Give it a bit of it,
yeah. Choices you make, you need yourself first before you need others.
That's true. T.D. Jakes says that. Whenever you read, you read three-dimensional. You're right. At some point, we are all three, aren't we? At some point, I'm faithful. At some point, I'm lazy. At some point, I'm the master. But maybe a lazy master. You could be there, couldn't you? Sometimes there. What might you be bearing? A bit confronting.
Sorry. Not sorry.
That's what the master's not saying, is it? He's not saying, I'm going to multiply all my money.
Because I feel that...
I want you. I'm going to trust you to do that.
Doing it by myself sometimes.
Yeah.
And it gets exhausting.
And then he forwards.
Makes it hard.
In some ways, if you accept that the master is God,
resting in the fact
he forwards you the outcome. Because he gave according to
the outcome. He's empowering like he's always serving you.
According to the ability. You didn't give it in reverse.
You still got to cooperate with him.
Less ability or... Let's
like
deal,
take opportunities when they come.
Kind of walking to the door when the door is open.
That area.
He'll provide, you know, he'll provide the food from the five loaves and the fish.
And then it's interesting, like, and then that not be exhausting. So if you are,
you need to rely on other people. You need to learn to rely on other people. That's one of my issues. Is saying of myself, because I know the outcome will be X, but I'm wasting my time because I really should be.
To help us and lead else. Us, and it's like
and trust in them.
Ability, so he's not
given,
beyond it.
Even though I know their ability, even though I know their shortcomings,
then the overthinking comes in.
Give them the right
overthink it,
amount of
responsibility
not doing
for
it,
them to grow in so that they
that's the fear, isn't it?
Learn from that process and become better at
And we all struggle with that.
Well, doesn't he say that? There's something about it. It's small.
But have you ever found when you do actually overcome that and you step into it, God just meets you there and you just think, oh, like, you just see what he does.
We gave you five.
So
you came back with ten. We gave you two.
You really
get a lot
of joy and you just feel so excited with what you see God do.
My big one in this one is my past hurt and the way you've been treated in past churches.
That's true.
That's what holds me back.
Maybe some, like, even when you looked at the unfaithful servant, one part of it which I'd like to explore more is you're a hard man, you reap where you haven't sown, and
he hid it.
You harvest where you haven't sown, and you And I was just, I straight away made the link
so
to
it doesn't multiply.
One soul and another waters and
unless you do something with it.
And I thought,
the multiplication is not automatic.
This is what I'd like to explain.
God can't multiply if you hid it in the ground.
Sometimes you serve faithfully.
The Lord doesn't really work
with
in fear. He was afraid.
Or you might never serve
true.
I just think
there's no building of no.
Gaining of
more
like
fruit led by
growing.
Fear,
right? Like, you know, one's married
in
here,
situation.
Another one's
overseas.
I don't see that. Someone else is reaping that fruit in there.
You hit the situation where he says, because you knew this,
so
you were cheating
to
take the talent
like,
to the running
shoulders.
So
that
when I came,
that maybe
I could have received it with
the fruit of my eyes kind of.
Interested in that.
So, that heart.
What I used to try to do with that one is just a couple of, sometimes
there's some issues in there and around.
You get the ones that you know about. That's where I try to focus
on today.
That one, knowing that I got
both
the privilege to know that.
To hear it.
Okay, so multiply, even just put it in the back. What did the others do to multiply?
Does anyone want to share anything? We've got just a few minutes. We've got about five minutes. I'd love to hear what you someone come up with.
Some feedback. Yeah, don't be shy. Don't be shy.
I've chosen to look at number two, don't bury it.
Yeah. Do you want the mic? Here you go, so it can go.
Oh, I don't want to record it. Okay. Yeah. Look, I haven't thought about this, so that's why I chose number two. Burying it, if I'm burying, what am I burying? I'm burying trust. I'm not trusting others.
Mm.
So if part of investing the gift, sowing the gift, it does take trust, then why am I not trusting? What's the excuse? Maybe it's I'm not sure if you're going to do it the right way.
Mm-hmm.
And get the result that we could get if you did it my way. So,
which is the right way.
Which is the right way, isn't it? Okay, I think I've said enough.
No, that's great awareness. Self-awareness is everything.
It could be. It could be that.
And there's an element of releasing that to God, isn't it? You know? In control, there's always an element of laying down and releasing to God. Yeah.
Control, that's probably the word, isn't it?
Anyone else got something to share? Would you share a little bit? Would you share a little bit about what you just shared with the at-risk white children?
Because I thought that was a great perspective. Okay. Yeah.
So we were just talking about that you don't always see the fruit of what you've sown. And there was a season where we took children in who were foster kids, and we would have them like for respite for weekends or school holidays, and we would share with particularly these two Aboriginal girls that regularly came to us about Jesus. And I was just saying how we're not always, I'm never going to see the fruit of that, but maybe on the other side of eternity I might.
Absolutely,
but that was, for our family, sacrificial to have these children come and live with us, and particularly some of the more challenging children who would, you know, destroy our homes and everything. But we would still share the love of Christ, and we would still let them know that it, irrelevant of their behaviour and how they were in our home, they were always welcome back.
Mm.
So we tried to be like the hands and feet of Jesus in for them.
And to me, that's that multiplication, which you may not see visible in this life, in this side of eternity. But the well-done, good and faithful servant will judge the multiplication. Do you know what I mean? There'll be a time when that will actually be really clear to you. But, you know, that's we live here and let eternity inform how we live here. And so then it makes sense, doesn't it? Like, I can rest in the fact that I'm not going to maybe see with my visible eyes the fruit of that investment and that sacrifice, but rather trusting God has it. And at that time, Bema seat, guess what? You're going to see the multiplication. Yeah. Any other thoughts?
I have just...
Would you mind using? I know it's confronting, I understand.
Okay, this has just highlighted for me something that I've long suspected, is that I have joined groups before that have folded shortly after I've joined, or I have joined groups and I've been put in groups, like subgroups of those groups, and they've done things without including me. And this has just sort of shown me that I need to find something that I can do, that I'm either the leader or I can do on my own. Because this has just helped pinpoint or highlight for me that maybe joining a group and working within a group isn't for me.
So where did you come to that conclusion? What did it? What showed you to?
Well,
you to that?
Where do you sense spirit given strength rather than exhaustion? A task that I'm given that I can just run with on my own, that I can think about what I need to do and do it rather than have to get people involved. Ask people what their ideas are.
I've joined groups where I've thought of ideas, but there's been people in front of me who have been in the group for years, elders in the group, and they didn't want somebody who'd been in the group for 5 minutes to come in with bright, fresh ideas because that upset their position within the group. So I was basically, you know, made to feel, you know, don't come back.
Oh, okay.
And as I said, I've joined groups where people have not wanted me to work with them. So, just all of these questions seem to be, you know, pinpointing for me. Find something that you love. Find something that is your strength. Do something that you can do and maybe lead other people or do on your own, but don't necessarily get upset if you can't find something to do that is already being done.
I really pray that you just really tap into finding your gift and your strength, because then you're going to run in that really naturally. It's just going to be easy. And others often will recognise that when you're running in your strength and your talent, yeah, and you're not trying. It's hard sometimes to try and fit in your churches. Things can be territorial. Not that our church is.
This is outside of church.
Yeah,
These were not things within churches.
All right, yeah, it's good. Well, they can happen in churches. Try sitting in someone's seat when they've sat there for 30 years. So sometimes it happens, hey. Anyone else want to share? Because I think we've got about 1 minute. You're a quiet one, aren't you? But you write a lot of notes.
Yeah.
No thoughts? Okay.
We did chat. I'm really interested in the connection with faithfulness and multiplication.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I think it's there. You can't deny that. Mm. But how the multiplication works. Because to me, on one hand, you'll have people that say, well, God will do it. Mm-hmm. Just leave it to God, right? So I understand that. But then, to me, there's a partnership there. The story is about a partnership between the master and the servants.
Yeah.
The multiplication...
That's God's business.
It is the master's business. Mm-hmm. But really, the multiplication came from the servants.
Yeah.
At a minimum, there could have been... The minimum multiplication could have been interest by just putting it in the bank. Mm-hmm. Where... Yeah, sure. He had to take an action of go to the bank, put it in the bank, you know, bury it in the bank almost.
Yeah.
Right?
He was maintenance mode.
Yeah. So faithfulness doesn't come with a minimum, though the minimum does produce something. I don't know. I'm just trying to get a handle on the partnership in multiplication.
Everything we do is cooperation with the Holy Spirit, hey?
It has
like,
to be.
Even you look at John 15, I am the vine, you are the branches. Abide in me, without me you can't do anything. Okay?
Yeah,
so we have to be in Christ. Mm. So it's that thing between, I'm going to be obedient, but I'm going to also understand that this is not about me. I can't make things happen. Not anything that's spirit, you know, driven or spirit inspired. But I still have to be available to do it. It's like, if you're going to preach, you have to open your mouth and do it. You have to prepare. But you're trusting that the Holy Spirit actually takes that word and brings it alive in someone's heart, because that's the part you can't do. Mm. Yeah?
Yeah?
That's how I would see the partnership. There's things that we have to be obedient to do, but in the end, it's only God that's actually going to do this part that brings increase. That is fruit that remains.
Yeah, true.
Okay, something that's worked.
Lasting.
And we may not see it in this life. That's where the, you know, the eschatology comes into it.
Yeah. So basically, we have to be in partnership with God.
Absolutely.
If we don't dig in and be in partnership with God, then we can't be seeing any multiplication like any of us.
Well, I think you'll see it, but whether it is something of eternal value is the question. That's where the wood, hay and stubble. Yeah, that's right. Because we can be building. We can have talents. I believe God creating humanity in his image, he gives everyone gifts, talents, ability. But there's something that happens when you tap into the Holy Spirit. Yeah, or when I should say he gets authority to use your gift and talent. There's a, like, I would say it's like you plug something into the PowerPoint. He empowers you to actually use that in a way. And then also too, your focus changes. You're not focused on things that aren't of eternal value. You're not there in temporal things. You're in eternal things.
So when I was saying in relationships, so
It's having the connection with God. Like you said, like, there's lots of talents out there. Mm. People are making mega bucks and stuff, but they've got no foundation in God.
That's right. So they'll squander it on all. I mean, look at Elon Musk. He's got so much money, but even if they're doing good things, it's only really to get the praise back on themselves, you know. So, it's like, well, what are we building on? Yeah. What's going to last that fire, that refining fire of eternity? Yeah.
Well, it's also the storms of life, isn't it?
Mm.
So the storms of life test your building.
And how we respond to
them. Test your investment. Yeah. Mm. If the storm comes and it washes away, then
house on sand. There's
it couldn't so many have been things. God, could it?
There's so many things that you can see that ebb and flow in and out of different scripture that will actually build this whole thing of what are we building on.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, it is important that God does give us a gifting and talent according to our ability, recognising its importance. So that might mean a little bit of workshopping, like what do I, and some of it comes out of, what do I love to do?
Yeah.
You know, what energises me? What brings me joy? Those things, it doesn't mean that everything you do won't have times where it's, you know, like you have to push through in stuff, you have to be faithful and turn up and be, you know, all of those things. But if we are doing it in alliance with God or in cooperation with what he wants, I believe even if we don't see the fruit in this life, the multiplication in this life, in eternity it'll be there. Think of I forget, is it Adoniram Judson, missionary, I think it was to Burma, saw nothing in his lifetime.
Yeah.
He sowed and sowed and sowed and sowed and sowed and saw nothing, not one convert. After he died, pretty much the church now there can trace its roots back to him.
Yeah.
But if he would have got discouraged, now I could have little bits of the facts wrong here, it was what country he was in. I just remember reading this story a long time ago. It really encouraged me because I thought we may never see in this lifetime what we actually sacrificially put our hands to in obedience. But God, he's not in time. Like, he's not going to forget.
Mm.
He's so faithful. And so we have to keep sowing and doing and just being really faithful. Keep busy, yeah. Because that's what he's looking for when he comes back, you know. Have we been faithful with what he's entrusted to us? Jezza, would you mind closing?
Yep, wonderful. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to open the scriptures and to have a look at this particular topic. We pray that you would continue your work in us. We know that the work that you began in us, you will be faithful to complete it. And so we partner with you in our busyness, and we pray your blessing upon us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Good, good.
I think I really loved how he opened up at the beginning too. He said this parable runs straight after the 10 virgins.